You can take your Bibles and turn to, I got to find it, Nehemiah. And you got to turn to chapter 8. And I think John went over this a couple of weeks ago. I'm just going to read a little part, one verse of it. Nehemiah chapter 8.
Oh, Nehemiah.
Nehemiah chapter 8.
And it
basically,
I don't
think I have it. You can just listen if you can't find it. That's no big deal. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, and in verse 10, this is after Ezra, who was a wonderful man, basically was just reading the word to people, and they were getting blessed and strengthened. And in verse 10, it says that, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
Strength. And I looked up that word, sorry, and it means to worry.
To work?
Worry. Worry.
Worry.
So don't worry about things. What did it say here? Go eat the fat and drink the sweet and take care of the people too with our abundance from God. So we don't have to worry about it. And that word joy is really wonderful. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy means gladness. It means rejoicing. And it's God's joy to help and supply his people with the fat and the sweet. And that's how we get strengthened. Those people, you know, if you can go back and read the whole chapter, they were strengthened. They were delighted by just the word of God that he was reading to them. And that word strength means a fortified place, a fort. Now, remember many, many years ago, a long time ago, when I was a young guy, we went to a fort, Ticonderoga it was called. And it was up in New York somewhere. But anyway, in that fort, they stressed that they had everything they needed to actually be protected, but actually to survive so that they can be sustained. And that is what God does for his people. He's our fort. He's our strength. He strengthens us. He supplies us with every single thing we need. You know, what's that verse, all things pertaining to life and godliness. That's what God gives for us. So anyway, we got a great, wonderful God. Like the song said, God is good to me, right? God is good to us. Anyway, you can go to Psalm. It's a little easier to find. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to start in verse 1. I know everybody found that one.
You got us.
Yes. Verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So I want to break this down a little bit. So it says, the Lord is my rock. The rock is a kind of like a fortress too, like a stronghold. But what it said in one of the definitions was a craggy rock, like a jagged rock. So in my own mind picture, I thought, you don't want to rub up against God the wrong way and mess with his people, because you're going to get hurt, you know. He's going to take care of us. So he's our rock, and not only our rock, he's our deliverer. And the deliverer means a way to escape. So in any situation we're in, God is either going to take care of it, or he's going to make a way for us to get out of it so that we can go back to living peacefully. And then again, strength. He's our strength, which means a sharp rock or a cliff. So it's something solid. God is something solid that we can always depend on and stand with. And then it says a buckler. Who knows what a buckler is? It's a belt buckle. No, just kidding. A buckler is a shield, right? Who said shield? Connie. Good job, Connie.
Woo-hoo.
A protector, and then here it is again, a scaly hide like a crocodile. So it's another thing. You don't want to rub up against it because you're going to get, you know, cut or scraped or something. And that's our God protecting us. And then it says he's our high tower. Again, he's a fortress, a place for our protection. Every single time we need his protection, he can protect us. So the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And it goes on, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from some of my enemies.
Nope.
No. Mine enemies, all of them. And then these, you know, we've read this before, but it says, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And that, where is that? That afraid means to really, sweat, to fear, it said to flow like a stream. They made him afraid, but, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, and that's pretty distressful if you're sweating and it's just flowing out of you. That's being afraid. That's scared. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. He's always listening. Then, and this is a great mind picture, like we said, we've read this before. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. One of his kids was getting messed with. So you don't want to rub up against God. And it keeps going on, verse 10, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he flied upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. But the point being is, the great mind picture of when you're messed with, when something's happening in your life that's not the best, that's not godly, God is on the job, ready to perform whatever it is we need. If you go to Psalm 27, and verses 1 through 5, it says here that the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So in that instance, do we need to be afraid of anything? If we look to God as our light, and then that light is the illumination. It also means happiness. The Lord is our happiness and bright and clear day. He makes it easy for us to see things that are not easily seen by others. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they what?
Stumbled.
They stumbled and fell. That's what God does for his people. That's the strength we have in him. That's the joy we have that he's taken care of our every need. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And that rock, again, is a fortress. He'll enclose us in something that nothing can penetrate, so that we're safe. Pretty cool God we got there, right? That word afraid is pretty wild. It's to be startled or to make to shake. So if we don't have to get to that point, if we keep looking to him, or if we are at that point, he's going to take care of us as we go to him. He's going to help us to settle ourselves and not be shaken. Go to Psalm 119. Here's another one. Psalm 119 and in verse 28.
28?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir. My soul melteth for heaviness. That's pretty sorrowful, right? Melteth, that melteth again means to drip or weep or pour out. You're sweating it out. You know, there's something going on and you're sweating about it, and God wants to take that sweat away. Where is it? Where are we? 28.
Strengthen
thou me, thank you, according unto thy word. That heaviness means a depression or a sorrow, and then the strengthen just basically means to make good. He's going to make us good. He's going to strengthen us with his love and his goodness. Now you can go to Isaiah, chapter 40. And this, we've read these before too, but they're just so wonderful. You got to keep reading them.
Chapter
40. You all know this little section here. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll start in verse 28. It says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," and that's a great one too. He's everlasting. He's never going to end. Things of the world, what? They come again. They come to naught, but God is everlasting. He's never going to end. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. And we know that that fainteth means he doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary of taking care of his kids. Creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he what?
Increases it.
He increases it. So if you have none, he increases it. That's a great God. Even the youths, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that wait means to patiently expect. It's not like you're just waiting. You know, I'll wait around and see if he's going to do something. But you're waiting with expecting that he's going to take care, he's going to perform for us. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It doesn't say that the youth are the only ones to wait. It says that they wait, all of us. We all wait patiently for him to do his thing. And then the whole thing about the eagles, you know, the eagle flies down, he hits the water, all his wings come off, and he floats around. But I was thinking about that eagle, that eagle is vulnerable for a very long time, and he has to rely on something other than his own abilities to get those wings back and to get that strength back. So in the process, you know, we do the same thing. We renew our strength, but we rely on God to take care of us all the time. And the great thing is, it's a joy to him to take care of us. It's God's joy to give us his strength. In Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 6. It says there, to blessed be the Lord, because he heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. So we're his people. He wants to keep blessing us. He wants to take care of us. We're blessed. That word trusted means to hasten for refuge, to do it quickly. When we need something from God, we got to go to him quickly. We got to go to him all the time. And then helped, that word helped means to surround and protect. And that's what a great God he is, that he always wants to surround us with his love and his goodness and his strength. He always wants to take care of us quickly. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful father. In Proverbs 8, Proverbs 8, and in verse 14. It says, for, where is it, 18, did I say? 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So that word strength means the victory. When we go to God for his counsel, when we go to God for his advice, when we go to God for anything, we have the victory because he wants the victory for us. He gives us his strength so that we can be victorious. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and start in verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by whose spirit? His spirit, not anyone else's. Not ours strength, not his the world's strength, but his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, with a world without end. Amen. So is there anything better than that? We got the love of Christ that passed knowledge, filled with the fullness of God, and we can have exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power, not us. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says here, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of someone else's might.
No.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not ours. And I love that, because it's his might that does all these wonderful things. It's his might that flies upon the cherub's wings and takes care of our business, or the rock that makes our fortress great. It's his might that does that, not ours. So anyway, that's all I have.